As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I observed from my youth." Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said to themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus said to them, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I've entitled this homily, Practical Polytheism. I know that sounds a little abstract. We'll hopefully start up in the clouds and then we'll land. We all know that monotheism is a belief in the worship of the one true God, right? One God, all of our devotion and love from him. And then polytheism would be the belief in multiple gods, right? That's the pantheon, right? Where there's many gods, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, there's multiple gods, right? In the gospel today, we're really talking about that. That's what Jesus is pressing on with the rich young man. He's driving home towards a real kind of a solid and focused love of God that puts in order everything else in your life, as opposed to trying to manage as many loves and devotions as possible and bring it together in some kind of harmony and peace. Get what I want while maintaining a certain interior peace. And that's the challenge. So in the gospel, we meet this rich young man who wanted to speak to Jesus. Kudos, right? He's on the surface a good person, right? He runs up to Jesus. The verbs are really interesting. He ran up to Jesus, a certain kind of eagerness and desire. He kneels down, a certain humility and devotion and recognition. And he asks a really fundamental question about heaven. How do I get to eternal life? Not worried about this earth. How do I make it count forever? And he also makes evident that he obeys the Ten Commandments. He knows what they are and he does them, right? Because Jesus kind of points them out and he says, "I've done all these." And then two very powerful things are said. Jesus looked at this man who's worried about heaven, who's obviously seeking the truth, and he loves him. He loves him. Ponder that for a moment, right? Wouldn't we love to all have that encounter where Jesus looks at us and we experience his deep and abiding love, right? This young man receiving this love of Jesus would have everything he needed in life, right? He would truly be a rich young man. And Jesus makes an offer to the man. If you're really desiring heaven, as you say, it's one more thing I'm going to ask of you. In order to gain everything, give up what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Right? In order to gain everything in that heaven you desire, really love you, and this is the path. Choose me. Right? The other gods that this young man worshipped practically in his life is what made his face fall. Sometimes, you know, somebody puts their finger on the point, and you're like, ah, I don't know if I was ready for that advice. At a recent meeting, and someone at the end, who's the leader of the meeting, said, hey, I just want to see, is there any feedback for me? Anything I can do to make your help you out? You know those leaders, managers. Hey, how can I help you be more successful? And somebody, very honestly, pointed out a very, I think, sincere observation, but painful for the leader to hear. Well, if you really wanted to help me, wink. I wanted feedback, but not feedback, you know? And Jesus does ask, go sell, and then come follow me. Jesus was inviting to a really deep experience of meaning, purpose, and love, and understood the rich young man maybe didn't want to follow and get heaven as sincerely as maybe his obedience to the commandments communicated. He maybe was a bit of a practical polytheist, trying to love as many gods in his life as he could while still loving. Now you could say, Father Mark, that's a pretty harsh reading of the poor young man, right? But practically, all we know is his face fell and he went away because he had many things, many treasures, right? That's a question we all struggle with at times, finding that peace, love, and purpose while hanging on to as many loves as we can, right? Where what Jesus proposes and what I propose to you, and really the really heart of wisdom that we've been talking about in the last couple weeks of homilies, is having one love that puts everything else in order. Not lots of loves and doing our best to stick them together and find some peace. And that requires some sacrifice. All loves put order into our life. I heard it was said by somebody, tell me where you spend your time and your money, and I'll tell you what you love. Because time is very limited and money is limited, and so where you invest that says something about what you value, right? I remember another conversation this week that kind of reminded me of this, and I'm going to do a little bit of what Jesus did in the gospel to the rich young man, so I'm asking pardon before if I touch a painful point. But one guy was saying, hey, Father, be honest, haven't been making it to Mass, and kind of praying is difficult, but it's just this life and this, you know, and he explained to me real challenges. Kids, sports, travel, teams, all these places. We got to divide and conquer and cover all these things over the weekend, etc. And I felt that it was a good time to challenge him. And I just kind of said, maybe you're making your kids' hobbies your God on weekends. Trying to make your kids as happy as possible so they get all they want. And you, very sacrificially, make that the priority. And yeah, it's hard to do. Time's limited. Where you spend it is limited. And the options of masses are limited. Sometimes it forces decisions. Where do we come down on that decision? Again, you say, oh, that's pretty harsh, Father Mark. But it's just an observation, right? What rank and what. That's where practical polytheism sometimes comes in. Trying to cover as many goods as I can instead of picking the number one and ordering all my other loves there. And I dare say, this is the wisdom, every other love will feel properly loved when they're loved in the right order. Every other love will feel properly loved when they're loved in the right order. I think kids love to be loved when they know they're in the right order. They're not your God. You love them sacrificially, but in order and at their service towards their true beginning and true end, heaven, God, eternity. And when you value that and you want to serve them and bring them towards that, as well as all the other good things that you can give them, That sets him free. Wow. I don't have to be the savior. I can fall into now personal sacrifice at times that will require of all of us. But that is, and that's what Jesus was challenging the rich young man. And that's really the question. Was he rich or was he not? Right? Or what was his wealth? What was his richness? How do you define richness? And Jesus would say, if you gain everything but forfeit your life in the process or your soul, are you really rich? That's the question. Or, and this was the struggle, I think, of the apostles, richness was always a sign of God's blessing. So how is it that it's difficult for the rich person in scriptural terms and understanding, blessed by God with so many things, to achieve heaven? Like, their wealth is a sign that they're close to God and blessed by God. Why is that a challenge? And the challenge is what this rich man young runs into. Is their primary love really the Lord, and everything else takes an order? If it is, they're truly rich. And if not, maybe the material needs to take a different order to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that's the invitation. That's where true wisdom, I believe, lies. Ordering our loves properly. God in the first place and everything else in function of that or in relation to that. Even ourselves, our own desires, our own hearts, our own passions. Let's pray for that grace, because it is eventually a grace. The rich young man says to Jesus, or Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? Only God is good. The source of all goodness is him. And then Jesus goes on to say, follow me with everything. Jesus isn't saying, hey, I'm not as good as God and God's. No, he's saying, what really makes God the number one is his absolute goodness. And that's worth following. And in fact, I'm him. So what you would do for God, do for me. Sell all and come follow me. Let's pray, brothers and sisters, for that grace to do that, to apply it in our own lives. Any way that we see a little practical polytheism creeping in, to ask ourselves the honest question, even ask Jesus, hey, give me some feedback. Where can I make you the number one as you should be in my life, God, the other loves, and are they in the right order? And let the Lord speak to you honestly with sincere love, just like he did to the rich young man. He'll look at you and he'll love you, and he'll speak the truth to your heart. Amen.